JT, live in Vegas.
Football season is finally here.
Number one, I love football.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the Raiders.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Just win, baby.
My father used to say that the greatness of the Raiders is in its future.
I'm all in.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Dominate, commitment to excellence.
There is unfinished business.
The best and most elite Raiders insiders right here exclusively on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Just win, baby.
Here I am, and I'm ready to get to work.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Great to have you, JT, with you as we kick off the show on a very busy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. We got a busy, busy show that kind of came out of nowhere, and we're excited to tell you about it. We're brought to you by Golden Entertainment, your home of PT's, 55-plus locations. I watched a little baseball at PT's over the weekend. Didn't help my Yankees, but the food and the drink specials were incredible. I always have a great time at PT's. Thrilled that they sponsor this show. Head on out to a PT's, Stratosphere. Get on out to Sierra Gold or Sean Patrick's and build your fantasy football draft at a PT's near you. This was a weekend where I consumed a lot of sports on television that I regret. And that's what I try to find balance in my life. I have two sons, 17, 15, are in high school. I'm only going to have them home for so much longer. I got friends who come into town. I like to do things outside sports. I went and saw White Snake at Red Rock. It was a good time. It was a good time. But Coverdale lost his voice. No longer can sing. That was a bit shocking. But so I try to balance my time because I consume a lot of sports, and most of the sports that I consume or for work, right? So for the jobs I have to watch sports, got to watch Raiders, do all this stuff, and then I watch sports for entertainment, and that's what I want to watch. So this weekend I watched Tiger, and I watched my Yankees. So my weekend was lost. I threw away my weekend. I cannot believe I was baking in this weather, this hot, when I should have been on a beach somewhere, not watching Tiger fade on Saturday and Sunday, and not watching my Yankees get swept four games in Boston. That was easily the Boston massacre of the modern August era. The Yankees and the Red Sox have a great history in August. August and the Bucky Dent comeback and great moments since the Red Sox have won three recent World Series. That was the biggest disgrace that I've seen as a Yankee fan in August against the Red Sox. As far as I go back, I mean, I'm going back to the 70s, 80s. That was ugly what happened there. I'll touch on that a little bit later on. We got Gary Lawless coming up here in 10 minutes, the great Golden Knights insider, on William Karlsson's one-year deal. We'll do a quick dive on that deal and how it shapes the Vegas Golden Knights going forward. Jerry Eisenberg, one of the greatest sports writers of all time, arguably the greatest living sports writer today who lives out here locally. He's got a really unique column on Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. When Jerry writes, people read it. He is a legend. Boxing. He's been to 51 Super Bowls. He's been to all five Triple Crowns. When we get him on the radio, it's always special. He'll join us about 20, 25 after. Kevin Bollinger is going to join us from Fox 5, the sports director. He's covering the Raiders. He had a sit-down with John Gruden, which I saw up in Napa. When I was leaving, he was sitting down with John Gruden. That'll be part of the broadcast on Friday night, which I'll be anchoring from the sidelines on the Raiders broadcast on TV. Raiders play Detroit Friday night. You'll catch that game on Fox 5 in Vegas. And then former Raider linebacker Kirk Morrison will join us. He's at 49ers camp. He just joined the Athletic in the Bay Area. It's a good friend. He was available today. We knew we wanted to get him on this week. He said, I can go today. So we got him up here. So we'll talk to him coming up here in a little bit. The other thing that I watch that I enjoy every year is the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. But now it's getting controversial. It's getting controversial for a number of points. First off, Terrell Owens didn't go, which means that's just as controversial as you can get. He becomes the only living Hall of Famer not to attend his induction enshrinement. That, to me, is a slap in the face to all the gentlemen who were there walking with canes up on the stage who built the sport. T.O. slapped them all in the face and had his private event in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which was kind of open to the public but private. And it wasn't bad. I mean, T.O. spoke, and I think a lot of it came from the heart because his background with his mom, his family story is very unique.
When they ostracized me and tried to keep me from what I rightfully earned, not once, but twice, you texted me, said, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You were always a Hall of Famer to me. Thank you for being the best mama that you could be for me and my sisters and brothers. I love you. And for that, this is for you.
Yeah, and that's really unique, but he's thanking his mom and he's blasting the Hall of Fame for not getting him in on the first and second ballot. So T.O. can't do anything without blasting the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I think he took away a little bit from Canton, Ohio by having his event.
So I want to address the elephant in the room. Many of you may be wondering why we're here instead of Canton. There's been a lot of speculation and false reports as to why I chose not to be there. I would like to set the record straight. It's not because how many times it took for me to be voted into the hall. It's about the mere fact that the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and core values of the Hall of Fame.
All right, I'm good with that. I'm a content provider. When I get that, that's great sound. He is bitter at the Pro Football Hall of Fame because he doesn't think the writers are all in line with what a Hall of Famer should be. There's probably some truth to that. There are writers that I've interviewed, and there's writers in that room who say he's not going in first time because of blank. And that's not the reason you're a Hall of Fame voter. You're either a Hall of Famer or not. If the guy's a Hall of Famer like T.O., you let him in. But a lot of the writers thought that T.O. was a divisive teammate, which clearly he was. I mean, he threw Donovan McNabb under the bus, Jeff Garcia under the bus. I mean, he was a tough teammate. But on game day, he brought it all. He never quit. He played hard. So Terrell Owens and his induction into the Hall of Fame, doing it at Tennessee Chattanooga, was a big story this weekend. I thought Randy Moss did a nice job. Randy Moss, if you've seen the 30 for 30 on his life and the problems he had, there was a good chance he never would have played in college as he was getting in trouble often as a youngster, but found his path to the Hall of Fame.
Raised in the streets, all y'all boys, all y'all ladies know, for those years that we were in Rand, West Virginia, where nobody even checked on us. Did not care what was going on. We stuck together. There's a lot of country folk out here, and I'm proud to be from the state of West Virginia.
So he showed up, and he did a really good job. And then finally, before Gary Lawless joins us here, I wanted to get into Ray Lewis and his speech because of the elephant in the room. Is he was around as a witness and had a plea in regards to an obstruction issue for a double murder. So that's part of Ray Lewis's past. It is. It's part of his past. Go look it up. But he's one of the, I think, the top 20 football players to ever live. So he's one of the greatest Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame. But he got very preachy at the Hall of Fame with the way he was talking and turned this into a 33-minute session all about becoming a better person.
When I was leaving, my little brother grabbed me. When I had to leave, get ready to leave. And you said to me, he said, don't do it, Ray. You said to me, you can't leave me. I won't live without you. But what you didn't know is that I would die to make my family successful. And now look, I told you we was gonna make it.
All right, so it was very preachy. I don't know anybody who would debate me on that. And do you wanna go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to be preached at? I mean, you tell me. I was watching Ray Lewis on the timeline on Twitter, and I saw some of the heat he was getting. It was incredible. So I talked to someone who said he's not going to tune in again and watch. I go, really? He goes, yeah. It was a bit too much. Randy Moss has a tie with victims on it. Ray Lewis is preaching. It was it over the top or not? We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. But I wanted to lead with that. That was a big deal. I also wanted to get Gary Lawless on today, the Vegas Golden Knights insider. He does a great job. And Gary, thanks for coming on as we talk about Carlson's contract. But I see the Golden Knights are on the road in the offseason. Tell us about some of these appearances for the players and the media.
This is a pretty cool event that we did last year. I'm joining up with them in Salt Lake City. Later this week, event starts in Reno and hits Jackson Hole and Salt Lake City, Boise, I believe, as well. And it's just an opportunity for us to go out and connect with people that are in our TV area in our broadcast region, and that are Vegas Golden Knights fans but might not get to be around the City National Arena on a daily basis during the season and see the players up close. So this is. This is a way to connect with our fans and interact with the people that are fast becoming Golden Knights Nation.
I think it's a really important point, is to get out on the road regionally and go see your fans, especially that this thing moves so quickly with a trip to the Stanley Cup Final. There are new fans, maybe some fans who are going to check it out year one, who decided to go all in, and they're going to want more of the Golden Knights in the offseason. What are some of the appearances going to be like? What are you starting to notice from talking to fans from 1 year ago to today?
Well, it's an opportunity. That, you know, there are clinics in some of the areas that a couple of players will get on the ice, and there's lots of it's player appearance, and our broadcast team, Shane Knighty, Dave Gosher, and myself are involved in different spots. Chance, our mascot, is making the whole trip. So it's, and listen, last year I can remember we went to Whitefish, Montana, and obviously Bill Foley lives there and Murray Craven lives there in the off season, and it's a you know, an important place to them, and they did a clinic with a couple of players, and you know, the fans had no idea who these players were and what the team was going to be like, and the turnout was just incredible. Now a year later, the team had just went to the Stanley Cup Final. These people have watched the team on AT&T all season long. They watched them on NBC in the final. Nick Schmidt is going to be in Salt Lake City. Brad Hunt in Reno today. These people are going to, you know, I would imagine in Salt Lake City, the crowd to see Nick Schmidt is going to be very large.
Yeah.
A very popular player nationally and certainly in our region. So real cool opportunity for us to be with our fans, and a great opportunity for the fans to be with our players.
Gary Lawless is our guest. So Carlson gets a one-year deal, $5.25 million, do you believe? I think the money is fair overall. Are you surprised that it's not a longer-term deal for someone who just took over this town and was one of the most exciting players in the entire sport?
Here's the deal. First of all, there's a signing bonus on this contract of $500,000, which is kind of a, you know, great season last year. Here's an extra $500,000. The contract is actually, the salary, the average annual salary is 4.75. And that's crucial because that's what the starting point will be at the end of next year when they get into to discussions on a long-term deal, which he said he wants to sign. Mm-hmm. George McPhee offered William Karlsson a long-term deal. Problem is he scored 6 goals 2 years ago. He had 43 last year. So McPhee kind of looks at it and says, I'm not sure if he's a 43 guy. Maybe he's a 30 goal guy. This is what that guy makes. And I think that that money is right around what Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith make, which is $5 million a season. They're both on long-term deals at $5 million per. If you're Karlsson, you're betting on yourself. You're saying, hey, well, George, I beg to differ. I scored 43 last year. I'm going to score 43 next year. And McPhee, his answer to that was, great. If that's who you are, I'm happy to pay you for that. But we need to see that. So it's a one-year deal. It's a chance for both sides, a chance for Karlsson to repeat and show what he is, and it's a chance for McPhee to just get a little bit of a firmer ground before he commits. You know, if he scores 43 again, you're talking big money. You're talking, you know, well over $5 million. So if he's worth 30, then maybe he's a $5 million guy, and that's fine too. So it's just a chance for William Karlsson to, it's just a little bit of a breathing space. Let's find out a little bit more before we, Karlsson doesn't want to be underpaid, and McPhee doesn't want to tie up valuable salary cap dollars on a player that isn't scoring 43. So it's just a little bit of a breathing space for both sides.
Yeah, and that doesn't work in other sports. I think it works in good faith here in hockey, and especially with this young man. You try to pull that with someone in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr. You try to do that with an NBA player, who an NBA player wants long-term guaranteed money. It doesn't work that way. You would agree that the risk-reward in this would be if he has another great year and he feels like he should be making more money, that would open up the door for him to look elsewhere, and it doesn't sense like he wants to do that. It seems like he wants to be here for a long time.
He can't look elsewhere. He'll be a restricted free agent again at the end of the season. So both sides are using the mechanisms in the collective bargaining agreement. Karlsson is using it to stretch it out a little bit longer to see if he can duplicate what he did last year, and McPhee is using it to get a little bit more of a look at Carlson before he commits. McPhee said publicly, if that's what he is, I'm happy to pay him. They don't want William Carlson to score 30 goals this year so they can get him at 5 or 6.
Oh, I get that.
They want him to score 43 and find out that that's exactly what they have and then back up the truck for him. They're happy to do that. You can't overpay in the salary cap world because those dollars are so valuable. So it's just an opportunity for both sides to get a better look at the situation.
Last one. I'm not into grades, off-season grades. We deal with that all the time. But big picture, what was the key so far for you? Fleury signed, Carlson signed. If you look at from the Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final with Ovechkin lifting the cup over his head, what's the biggest takeaway for the Golden Knights off-season so far?
Paul Stastny. Paul Stastny will play center on the second line, and he is a better defensive player and is equal a visionary player in terms of moving the puck than David Perron. So now you're going to anchor that line. Alex Tuch playing for a full year with Paul Stastny, he's going to score 20-plus. Thomas Tatar, who struggled because he didn't have the right guy to play with, he's going to play on that second line with Paul Stastny, and he's going to score 20-25. This player is going to elevate that the middle of the ice for the Golden Knights, and that'll have a trickle-down effect for the third and fourth line. They know that their top line, Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith, is one of the best in the NHL. Now they're going to buttress it with a really solid second line. Signing Stastny, key for the Golden Knights.
Have fun on the road, Gary. That's a good fan base to get out with and get to know as you're on this mission to continue to build this brand, and you're doing a great job with it. Thanks so much for the time today.
I'm going to be back in Vegas on the 10th, and I want to be in studio shortly after.
You got it, buddy. We got a spot for you. Thank you so much. Gary Lawless on the offseason. He mentioned Stastny. That's a big deal, along with Carlson being signed and restricted, and I'm happy he cleared that up and the opportunity to do that. Again, I'm dealing with Khalil Mack every day, and that what's going to happen with Khalil Mack, it's different. Khalil Mack's looking for $20 million or $19 million, whatever is going to be, and he wants a long-term deal. And the Raiders have an opportunity to franchise tag for Carlson and what he meant. For the games that I went to last year, to me, he was the most explosive player. Fleury's the best player on the team because he plays the most important position, and he's the face of the franchise. But Carlson's story and what he was able to accomplish this past year and to come out and be that big of a superstar and to have him locked up with the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy with his character and the type of leader he is in the community, that's a big deal. You want him locked up long-term to be here for years to come so they can take multiple chances at the Stanley Cup. And I'm one of the guys here. We're on the flagship station, right? Brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. They love hockey down on Boulder Highway in Henderson. I didn't think, like you, that this was a Stanley Cup contender when they built the franchise and started. Now, my expectations are Stanley Cup contender year-round. And there's going to be a year or two along the way where they lose in the playoffs, they disappoint. It's going to happen. It's hockey. But now that they've gone that far, they bring in Stastny, they sign Fleury and Carlson, you got to look at this team being a high favorite to get back, to go deep into the playoffs, conference champs, and maybe another trip back to the Stanley Cup Final. It's going to be tough to do, but the good news, it's not impossible to do that. When we come back, we'll talk to Jerry Eisenberg. Again, this is royalty. This is royalty, a guy who's seen it all, literally. And he has an interesting column on Colin Kaepernick and what's changing as the NFL takes a look at Kaepernick moving forward and the protests that are definitely coming into this season, that's for sure. We're thrilled to be here today on a very busy Monday. Raiders football coming on Friday night.
To me, I have to go back out and play football. It's a game at the end of the day. It's not life or death. I go out, I go to play, I play to win. I do everything I can to try to help this team win.
Colin Kaepernick, former Niners quarterback, JT, back with you on Fox Sports Radio. Jerry Eisenberg is one of the greatest sports writers of all time and a man who has witnessed so much greatness in his life, a great author, a great legendary columnist for the Star Ledger, and he joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Jerry, thanks for the time, and I really enjoyed this column. It was a good in-depth look on Colin Kaepernick and what he could teach Trump and NFL owners a lesson in conspiracy. What was your inspiration for the column?
Well, you know, the column, protesting isn't new. We know about Ali's protests. We know, which I had been involved in. We know about the Smith, Carlos, and the black gloves. And I had explained in the column about a woman named Toni Smith who quietly protested our going into the Iraq war. And it turned out she was right because they lied about weapons of mass destruction. But that wasn't my point. My point is, here's a conflict in which Kaepernick points out, and there's no denying it, no matter which way the president looks, there's a police problem. It's not with the cops. I'm a big fan of cops. I really am. They've been good to me all my life and have helped me a great deal. But there's still, when you have a bad guy in a shoe store, that's one thing. But when a bad guy is in a police department, he's in a position to do serious damage. And so I agree with Kaepernick. Additionally, I think about all the parents who, black parents, who have to give the lecture to their son, if you're pulled over by a cop, be sure you put your hands on the wheel. You don't say anything. You listen to the cop. You follow his orders. I know a lot about that because I'm in a mixed marriage, and I have one of my kids is a mixed kid. And I had that talk with him several times. And once he was pulled over and charged with nothing. And in court, the judge threw it out. So what I'm saying is, there's a serious problem in that area. Now, how do you fix it? Colin Kaepernick is not going to fix it, but he draws more attention to it. Now, the reason it got so widespread is the President of the United States says he's going to get involved with the disrespect to the flag and et cetera. I personally, in the column, wrote, my father was in World War One. He came here in 1888. He was an immigrant. He was wounded in France. I was in the Korean theater during the Korean War. On my wedding day, my father gave me an American flag. So I think I qualify pretty well as pro-American in everything I do. And I think what's happening here is pro-American. Look, the president, and as everybody knows, there's no secret about it, had five deferments, the fifth for a bone spur. But he's criticizing what they're doing to the flag when he hasn't defended it. Now, that's a minor criticism here, because the fact is, it's the right to protest, which is being exercised. And that's no small thing. And the number of players who are now joining in that protest, some of them came in because of the president meddling where he had no business. Some of them talked to Kaepernick. To me, the beauty in this story, there is beauty in it, is a guy named Nate Boyer, who played briefly for the Seahawks, who was a Green Beret in combat, and who wrote an open letter to Kaepernick telling him he wanted to know why he was doing this. He didn't understand it. They got together, and he's the guy who suggested that Kaepernick kneel rather than sit on the bench, because as he pointed out to Kaepernick, many a time a combat veteran, a veteran of war here, has visited the grave of a fallen comrade, and he kneels in front of it.
Right.
So there's respect in this thing, which we're being told by the president and indirectly by the commissioner, who does not speak up but sort of rides the coattails of whatever is popular with his owners, that this is disrespectful.
Jerry, let me jump in here because I agree. You know, you've seen it all, and you mentioned Ali, and I'm happy that you framed this column around the fact that your dad served and your service and what it means. I'm pro-military. I'm pro-police. I said exactly what you've said, too. When there's a rogue cop and a cop does something heinous, he should be brought to the full extent of the law and lose his job. But I know that the NFL is pro-military. They want that flag out there before every game. They want everybody to stand at attention. They want the focus to be on the good of what the military does, the police who are working that day at the stadium. They would like that. They would like it to be harmonious going forward. how are we going to get the majority of players or all the players to agree that eventually it's a business and possibly their protest doesn't work during the game? It should be off hours.
Okay, let me just address one thing you said.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, when you go to the game, we never played the national anthem
right.
in this country before any athletic event ever until World War II, and that's a fact. Because I remember when the war, when World War II started, I was 11, and all of a sudden in the theaters at West Point Glee Club was singing the national anthem on the screen before the program started. And I that was fine. That was very respectful. It was fine. After the war, why it continued, I'm not so sure. I know one thing. They're very blessed in the National Football League that we can afford to pay the fuel and pay the cost for stealth bombers to fly over the mm-hmm. field, all right? And everybody goes, cheers about it. We respect them, but let's think about the National Football League for a moment and what it means here. The commissioner, look, it's very simple. You want to solve this problem?
Mm-hmm.
I got the solution, but I didn't want to say it in the column because I wanted to explain Kaepernick, who's taking a horrible rap and is the victim of a conspiracy and a blackball. But I will say this. You want to do that? Very simple. Look at the main event of any major fight. They play the national anthem, and certainly boxing is a poor example for honesty and ethics, but listen, they don't play the national anthem while the two main event fighters are in the ring. They play it before that. Then
okay.
the fighters come out. There's no reason to do this, but if we're talking about being respectful, let me ask you a question. Then you better lock the men's rooms and shut down the concession stand.
Right.
You got a tremendous rush to the concession stand during the national anthem. I got to get my last hot dog. I'll starve to death here. And everybody's looking for relief in the men's room and the ladies' room while they're playing the national anthem. And I said everybody. I mean, it's a large group of people. So and they're not being disrespectful. They're doing what they have to do.
Right.
I just think we're put in a position that makes it disrespectful because we got the president coming in with what he says. Now, as far as where you protest or how you protest, this protest would get no attention without the national anthem, the way I see it.
Okay.
And the continual joining of other players in it. Some of them are protesting the president. That's not what I'm advocating, mm-hmm. but some of them are in there for that. But eventually this thing has got to be settled. And it can't be settled by the NFL saying, well, we're going to put all this money in some. You can't do that.
Right.
What is the solution? I'm not smart enough. I'm just a dumb hack sports writer. But I know this. There could be a solution. When Nate Boyer spoke to Kaepernick and they exchanged ideas, and each softened his stand. Why in the world? It isn't the National Football League's place. This is a dialogue that needs to take place in the communities mm-hmm. with the police department. And the police department understands
right.
better than most people think. There are some cops who just don't understand mm-hmm. it. That's the way you're going to solve it. And if this protest keeps the pressure on, then I'm all for it.
Thank you, Jerry. You're a legend. Appreciate your time. Great work as always.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Jerry Eisenberg from the Star Ledger. Very interesting point. Very interesting point that he makes about boxing, where the fighters are not in the ring. But then again, I recall that they are. There are times where I recall boxers being in the ring for the Mexican anthem. And you can look at it one of two ways. I don't think I personally embrace the anthem at sporting events. And I know the majority of people agree with me. But, you know, this is a democracy in this country. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go to the restroom during the national anthem. You can buy a big 20-ounce beer for $14 during the anthem, and a woman or man will sell it to you while the song's going on. I just hope that people can go to a sporting event and not have politics and protest at the sporting event. That's it. I'll stand by that, and I believe that if you want to protest, you have the right to in this country, but the NFL is a business, and they want their business to flow a certain way in their league on television and in the in-game experience. We are no closer to figuring this out. I'll just tell you that. As Kevin Bollinger is going to join us next from Fox 5, we'll get into his sit-down with John Gruden coming up. Yeah, we're nowhere near it. This is going to be, I won't say a disaster, but if you take a look at politics in America today, athletes protesting in football, nothing has been accomplished in the offseason. in my opinion. So I don't know if it's going to get better or worse, but I'm not expecting the best in 5 weeks here as we kick it off. This is Fox.
This man right here has a lot to do with why I'm here today. The timing is right. Really doesn't have anything to do with the contract. I just want to be a part of the Raiders again. I want to finish my coaching career as an Oakland Raider.
That's what our feature will be at halftime when the Raiders play Detroit. JT back with you, Fox Sports Radio. Busy show today. Thanks to all of our guests. It's always good to catch up with Jerry Eisenberg. Kevin Bollinger, kind enough to join us, the sports director at Fox TV right here in Vegas, Fox 5. And Kevin, good seeing you up in Napa. And when my wife and I were leaving, you were sitting down with John Gruden for the first of the preseason games. How'd that go?
It went well. You know, you can just feed off his intensity. As you know, JT, when you talk to him, you just kind of get fired up, and I think that he's having that impact on the players. And although he's kind of had to tiptoe around the Las Vegas issue a little bit leading into the season, he did address it with us over a few questions, and that's going to be part of something that we're going to air during the third preseason game against Green Bay when we do a Raiders special right before you guys take over on that game.
Yeah, you guys do great work, and you're putting so much effort in, and it was great to see you up in Napa. And the thing about Gruden is, you know, and there's criticism out there that he's been out for 10 years, did the league pass him by, all of that. You watch closely. There is no sign that Gruden's missed a beat. We'll see what happens on game day, but the focus, the preparation, the people he's bringing in from Charles Woodson to Peyton Manning to the film study to the way he's trying to lock in with this completely overhauled new roster, I don't think some of this criticism that he's getting from a distance is fair.
It's a total culture change, and I think that's what we saw when he did turn over that roster, 40-some-odd transactions since Gruden's been hired. He wanted to bring in guys that are going to play smash-mouth, hard, Gruden-type football and take that intensity to another level. And you saw it up in Napa just like we did immediately within the first 15 minutes of the first practice. I'm like, oh, boy, this is a totally different team in terms of the way they're approaching training camp, and we saw it as the days progressed. This is a team that has just a different culture to it, and Gruden has put a stamp on this locker room very quickly.
What'd you get out of the Mac holdout so far? And we'll see what happens the rest of training camp, but clearly Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden are, I won't say having a difficult time. Khalil Mack's agent is very tough to deal with, and he has the right to represent his client in a certain way. But for those who are reporting that they're far off, I think he's their best player. With all due respect to Carr, I think that Mack has been more accomplished as a football player quickly, and he's their best player. I'm sensing the Raiders would like to get a deal done, but setting the market on defense with the highest paid player to ever play, that's tough to do.
Well, one thing's for certain, this season's going to go nowhere until Khalil Mack comes back, because they are not going to win football games consistently over a 16-game schedule if he's not there. He is that important to that defense and everything that they want to do. They want to make sure, the Raiders do, I would assume, that this does not turn into a Pittsburgh-type situation with Bell, where this thing drags out and you're putting franchise tags on people just to kind of get one more year while you still negotiate, and it turns bitter. They want to find some type of resolution. I personally think that it's going to get done before week one, because Khalil Mack loves football, and I really think that he wants to get out there and be with his team. We all know he's in shape, and he's ready to go physically, and I think hopefully he'll be able to hit the ground running. I would think they're going to get a deal done. I don't know how far apart they are, if those reports are true or not, but when it is all said and done, Khalil Mack needs to stay a Raider and stay a Raider long term if this team is going to have any type of success, not only this season, but by the time they move here to Las Vegas.
Kevin Bollinger, kind enough to join us, Fox 5 Vegas, the sports director. And finally, one thing about Napa, you know, there's talk here, and I'm not going to break news and what I know about Reno or Tahoe or where they're going to train in years to come. Obviously, they're coming to Vegas in a couple of years there. But can you talk about the fan interaction that you and I saw up there where these Bay Area fans get a chance to see their team, the team that they love in Napa, and that connection that they have up there? And Gruden really plugs into that. You could tell Gruden is an Oakland guy, and he wants to win real bad in Oakland.
And they did something different, JT. As you saw, they went over to Memorial Stadium, which is a high school stadium that they have that a couple of high schools play in Napa. Seats a lot of people, brought in maybe 6,000-7,000 fans on the second day of practice, and then the fans were back in the regular spot. But since they've been there since 96, for Raiders fans, it has grown, not just for the people in the Bay, but Raiders fans from around the country that kind of make that trek to Napa at the end of July to get their first look at the team. And there is a special relationship with the people in the Napa area and the Raiders. If you go around town, it really is Raider country when you would think that it maybe would have a lot of 49er fans with the demographic that lives there. But they're really big Raider supporters, and I think that it's going to be an interesting switch for them, what they're going to do with that training camp long term, whether they decide to keep it in Napa during the transition or go to Northern Nevada. One thing's for certain, those Bay Area fans will make the short trip if it does end up moving to Reno or Tahoe to get their look at the Raiders every July.
Yeah, that's a big part of the Raider tradition since the mid-90s, giving their fans an opportunity to connect. Kevin, always great to see you. I'll see you here real soon as the first preseason game is Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, JT.
All right, Kevin Bollinger, sports director, Fox 5. They do a great job. They're the affiliate. That's where the games are. And Fox in town sends crews up there. They're at practice, and Kevin's there. Vince, they're doing a nice job getting to know this team. And you know, it's an interesting team to get to know because the best player's not there in Mac. Carr looks fantastic with Gruden. The offense looks amazing with Jordy Nelson and what the wide receivers can do. That to me is high, and Marshawn Lynch is in incredible shape. Not that he wasn't in great shape last year, but I think Gruden got him in better shape and told him what to do in the offseason and what he expects because he's back. And I think you're going to see one more big year out of beast mode. And there's depth at the running back position to help him out if he needs a breather. But the key will be Mac going forward because Mac is just special. And no matter what happens, and I hope this deal will come together, and I think it will. I really do. I believe that's good faith. Khalil Mack is a young player who loves the game right now, and you want to keep that joy and intensity going because he hasn't played in big games. He's played in one playoff game. Carr was injured. They lost to Houston. Mack, I want to see Mack have a 10-year career with the Raiders with a Super Bowl victory or two, with multiple trips to the playoffs, playoff sacks in the AFC Championship game in Vegas. And if it can happen sooner in Oakland, outstanding. But they're going to need him in there, and he's got to be ready to go if the Raiders are going to be really productive this year. Kirk Morrison, former linebacker, middle linebacker of the Raiders, now a phenomenal broadcaster. He's got a lot of work going on. We'll talk to him. He's at Niners training camp in Santa Clara. We'll talk to Kirk coming up. Remember, if you're looking for a new car, pre-owned car, and a great deal, my friends at the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, they'll take care of you. That's where the deals are. Henderson Hyundai, the Superstore, right there, Boulder Highway in Henderson.
All I want to say to you guys is I want to say this to you guys, all of you. It means the world to me that you're here. Some of you guys were actually on time, unlike when I was coaching here. And you're welcome. As long as I'm the head coach, all of you are welcome here. I want you guys to be a big part of this Raider organization. There's a lot of young players out there that have untapped potential, and we have to tap it as soon as they walk in these doors, and I need your help to do that.
John Gruden right there. Pleasure to welcome to the show the newest member of the Athletic San Francisco, former Raider linebacker, NFL linebacker, and now great broadcaster, Kirk Morrison joins us, I think from Niners camp. Is that where you are, Kirk?
Yeah, I was at Niners camp earlier today. They've finished up. I'm actually sitting next to my dad, Raider Dave, so he wanted me to tell you hello, JT. And that's about it. I'm going to be at Niners camp again tomorrow and then see the Raiders and Lions this week in terms of the joint practice they have before they take on each other in the preseason week one matchup.
Well, all the best to your dad, who's a classic diehard, which is great to hear. And what do you think of the Niners and Jimmy G so far, the offseason and the expectations for him at quarterback? Because expectations are high for Niner fans thinking he's the chosen one.
Yeah, man, just watching him spin it. You know, it was my first time watching him spin it in a real game. I mean, in a real live atmosphere. You know, I've seen him, you know, warm up before on the sidelines and things like that. And then last year, you know, him coming to the Coliseum against the Rams. But today just looks totally different, man. Watching him in a practice setting, JT, he's got all the feeling, the fix, whatever you want to say. He's got it all in terms of a franchise quarterback. That's the reason why you can see them making that easy decision of locking Jimmy Garoppolo up long term. He looks the part. The offense looks the part, but on top of that, he carries himself with a confidence that I have not seen in a long time in San Francisco. And I don't want to compare him at all, but, man, we haven't seen a confident quarterback like this since I think Joe Montana wore the San Francisco colors. And that's saying a lot. I don't know. We'll see if the play stands up to what Joe did, but definitely he walks on the field and everybody is glued to number 10. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, from the defensive side where you played, but staying on offense with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G and obviously Gruden with Derek Carr, you got these play callers who are head coaches that really want to expand these route trees and have elaborate offenses and have strong principles because of their histories. John Gruden with his dad, Kyle Shanahan with his dad, and all the coaches that they've worked with. I think the Bay Area in general is going to see some high-flying offense.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of get the ball out of your hands. We're talking about West Coast offense now. So for people who don't understand West Coast offense, that means fast pace, it's moving. It's like watching a basketball game. It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of underneath routes, a lot of catch-and-go elements, which is something I think the Raiders can benefit from. I see the Niners are going to benefit from it. But being able to still take shots down the field, but at the same time, high-percentage throws and let your playmakers be playmakers, just get the ball in their hands. And so that's what I think is going to be exciting on San Francisco side and the Raiders side, having those West Coast elements of getting the playmakers to football.
8-year NFL vet, Kirk Morrison, great friend of the show. Great to have him here. And your work with the Rams and what you've done with them recently, you look at Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack, just big picture on the fact that one of those two guys are going to go first and set the bar. And it's tough if you already have good players and you're up against the cap and franchises are making transitions to the next level. How complex is this, Kirk? Or do you just think they're the two best players on their teams, pay them what they deserve, pay them the market price?
Well, I think it is complex, JT. It's hard because, and look, I hate to say this, so please don't record this or play it back to me ever again, but this league is about scoring points. It's about offense. It's about can I score more than you can score. And with that being said, you see more offensive players get locked up and the defensive players, especially when you look at the position that Aaron Donald plays, and maybe even more, a little less probably with Khalil Mack. But, you know, it's hard to pay those type of players the kind of money that they're asking for possibly. I mean, the teams want to reward them, but – that's what the beautiful thing about the NFL is. It's the economics of a salary cap and that you only have a certain amount of dollars to pay guys. And what these two guys have earned, which I hope that they get, is upwards of $25 to $30 million. Now, 30 may be the high end, but definitely 25, which is the quarterback market. And do teams feel comfortable, like the Raiders and Rams, feel comfortable in paying these guys that kind of money, knowing that once you pay an interior lineman and an outside linebacker-sized defensive end, you're going to start hurting in other places. We saw it with the purge in Seattle once they paid Russell Wilson. And I think it's just hard for, I think, teams, organizations to do that for a defensive player and then have to worry about paying other guys. It's crazy that the Rams have a guy who was kind of a beneficiary of it in Dominican Sue, who got one of the biggest deals for a defensive player ever. And then, you know, right after that, what happened? I mean, it didn't work out. They didn't win hardly enough games in Miami, and he was on the chopping block. And that's why they had to release him. So, like I said, it's hard to pay these guys, but at the same time, I really believe that, okay, they're going to get the money. It's just how much are we talking?
Yeah, and how creative it is and how it will be structured. Congratulations on the move to The Athletic, all the work that you're doing in media. It's fantastic to watch your career and how it continues to climb every year. I'll see you out in the Bay, and all the best to your dad, and thanks for coming on, my friend.
No, definitely. I'll see you in a couple weeks, man. Rams, Raiders.
I'll be right there with you, right on the sidelines. Look forward to that, Kirk. Take care.
All right, sound good.
You got it. Kirk Morrison, who is doing pre- and post-game for Rams, just signed with The Athletic, did a great job with ESPN College Football and ESPN LA, and he played linebacker for the Raiders. Really interesting point that he said, because he's a defensive guy, wants the defensive guys to get the money, but he's framing where we are today. We're in an offensive-driven league, where the offensive players need to be paid first. And then if you have a great defensive player, you get creative and you franchise tag them, pay them, but you're not going to pay them the offense-type money. This is tough. I watched the Hall of Fame this weekend. Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Robert Brazil, Brian Dawkins. It's a Hall of Famers. You got a Hall of Famer on your team? I think Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack are building Hall of Fame careers. You get those guys, you want to lock them up long-term because they don't come around that often. At that level, that's for sure. Thanks to Bobby, you put this big show together. Thanks to Jerry Eisenberg, Kevin Bollinger, Gary Lawless on the Vegas Golden Knights, and Kirk Morrison. This is what we do. We give you an hour, local, everything we got. We reset for the national show with Looney at the top of the hour. John Paul Morosi, our baseball insider. Also, Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, now with the NFL on Fox. And Jay Coffin from Golf Channel, as we have the final major coming up this year. Thanks to everyone at PT's. Happy Hour begins in 6 minutes. Get to a happy hour at a PT's near you.